Hi, my name is Ophélie, and you're listening to the Mama Activist Podcast, a podcast where we explore topics ranging from social justice, culture, politics, and news through deep conversation with myself, activists, humanitarians, and everyday people trying to make a difference. It's a space where we are willing to learn, grow, and be challenged collectively while highlighting activists doing amazing things in the world. From hearing new perspectives to learning new things, we are pushing for a better world, fighting for our liberation and reclaiming our power. So tune in and be a part of the movement. Hi everyone and welcome to another episode of the Mama Activist Podcast. This week I am talking to you from Sierra Leone, Freetown. Today, you'll be listening to a conversation on the importance of preserving indigenous seeds with our guest speaker, Simon Olagay, Executive Director of the Institute of Development and Humanitarian Assistance Organization, an organization operating in Sierra Leone and Liberia. Hi, Simon.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Yes. Simon, do you want to give a short introduction?
Oh, yes. My name is Simon Olagay. I'm the Executive Director for Institute of Development and Humanitarian Assistance, IDHA. IDHA is a research and a development organization. We started operations in Sierra Leone way back in 2014, during and immediately after the Ebola. And for Liberia project, we started it in 2021.
Nice.
Yes.
So you started your operation in Sierra Leone just after the Ebola outbreak.
Yes.
Did you start this organization as a response to the Ebola outbreak?
Yes. Basically, we started as a response to Ebola outbreak, and then we continued on the post-Ebola recovery projects.
Nice. So my first question to you is, why is saving seeds important for the planet? And thank you so much for telling us a bit more about your organization. And I remember in one of our first conversations, you mentioned how one of your organization mission is to make sure that we are preserving our indigenous seeds. So yes, why is saving seeds important for the planet?
Yes, first of all, our projects, we support agriculture and the agricultural value chain development. At the same time, we support small and medium enterprise development. I would say specifically for Sierra Leone, which similar to Liberia, there's a big challenge of food insecurity. When you look at the statistics, you realize that most of the land is vast and there is limited cultivation on it. There's limited production of food crops. For Sierra Leone and Liberia as well, the staple food is rice. And you find that there are a lot of challenges in the maintaining food sufficiency. This is as a result of lack of access to quality seeds, tools, as well as issues to do with infrastructure, which is road access, which is affecting market linkages. So basically, we looked at this based on the experience we have worked with the different farmer groups. We realized that most of the seeds have a very poor germination. That is one. Number two, most of them are depleted. So we realize.
What do you mean by depleted?
Depleted means, you know, with the seeds, seeds are like cloth. They get worn out. Mm. Once you continue replanting, they need to be replaced. Mm. And I think this is the biggest challenge, going to your question that what is the importance of preserving seeds? This is the biggest question, not only for Sierra Leone or West Africa. This is the biggest question for Africa. How do we preserve our indigenous seeds so that we will maintain the variety, they remain pure, as well as we maintain the germination ability of those seeds? What do I mean here? For example, you'll have our local seeds, mostly you can plant them over for at least 10 years before you replace that seed. What I mean is, if you are planting maize, for example, you have harvested maybe 100 kilograms. You might decide to say, okay, I'll keep 20 kilograms for the next planting season. So it means that this seed you are planting next season is a seed you'll continue recycling for at least 10 years.
And then after 10 years, you after need 10 new years, seeds.
You need. So after 10 years, there is a tendency that there will be poor yield. But in most times, where there is a poor extension service or technical advice, you may think that it is the issue of the soil. Not
but
knowing
no, it's because the seeds.
It could be the seed is depleted. So you need to look at a number of factors. That's why extension service is very key.
So one of the reasons why saving seed is important is also because of the food shortage, you say.
Exactly.
Yes, in Sierra Leone particularly, or?
It's for Sierra Leone in particular, and I'm sure this could be issue with most of the other African countries. For Sierra Leone here, from the reports I've been reading from Sierra Leone Agricultural Research Institute, we have a number of crops that are depleted. For example, the yellow maize variety that we have. Understand that variety was introduced immediately after the war, which was in 2002 or 2001. So you can imagine from 2001, that variety has not been much changed. So it needs to be replaced. So when you go to a farmer will tell you that these seeds, if you support us with the seeds, you need to support us with the fertilizer. The reason being, there is poor germination and there is poor yield. So you can see how a seed affects food security. Of course, a seed is the foundation for everything. Without a seed, there is no food. Yes.
So why, sorry, I already asked this question. So what are the benefits of preserving indigenous seeds? And of course, you touched a bit on that already in terms of like, you know, making sure that we are keeping a variety of our seeds and of our food. But yeah, can you develop a little bit?
Yeah, so the most important reason for keeping the indigenous seeds is number one. When you look at most of the Africa, particularly for Sierra Leone, let me speak for Sierra Leone, that I know very well, most of the farmers are poor. They are subsistence farmers. So access to seed, access to fertilizers, for example, and access to tools, these are the things which are constraining them a lot. And as a result, leads to low agricultural production. So if you are maintaining the local variety seeds, it means it is easy, there is easy access, there is also easy storage. People are used to using local methods of preserving seeds. It is not susceptible to pests and weevils that sometimes can destroy them. So basically, preserving indigenous seeds has a lot of advantage in terms of promoting agriculture and food sufficiency.
Can you tell us more about your NGO action, and strategy to save indigenous seeds?
For now, as Institute of Development and Humanitarian Assistance, in our little way, we try to, number one, we try to sensitize the communities. We try to share some of the real challenges we experience in the field with some of the policymakers, for example, Sierra Leone Agricultural Research Institute. We normally share with them the feedback on the poor yield, and then they go and do the detailed analysis. Three, how we are trying to address this. Apparently, we have partnered with the agri-research partners in UK as well as Rural Support India, where we are currently conducting a research in over 12 countries in Africa. So we are targeting different commodities. We are looking at cotton, coffee, cocoa, even maize, different commodities. So the project is targeting two aspects. One, access to global markets. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, how can we preserve the indigenous seeds? So currently what we are doing, we have started collecting what they call samples. Mm-hmm. So in most of these countries, I'll give you the list of the countries: Ghana, Ethiopia, Cameroon, Burkina Faso, Chad, Egypt, Uganda, Kenya, Rwanda. We have collected different mm-hmm. crops, and the samples are analyzed in one of the laboratories in New Zealand. So the results of this will actually inform, number one, on what do we need to do in terms of seed breeding, seed maintenance, and then seed multiplication. Mm. So those are key aspects that we need to find out and come up with a common solution to address some of these challenges.
What can you tell us about seed preservation? What is the process of seed preservation? How does it work?
Basically, I am not a seed expert, but what I know is we have different type of seeds. You have what they call foundation seed, and then you have certified seeds. So the foundation seeds, the seed breeders know it better, that we have there's a difference between breeding and then the aspect of certified. For Sierra Leone, I think mostly the private sector is involved in the certification of the seeds, and then of course the government on side is involved in the side of seed multiplication. So what do I mean here? Seed breeding is a different component where basically it targets about maintaining the genetic purity of the seed.
Seed breeding.
Yes.
Okay.
To maintain the seed purity. It is slightly different from certification.
Sure it's as natural as possible,
Yes, as
this
natural
is why indigenous,
as possible.
You use the word indigenous because yes. you want to keep the indigenous
seeds. Yeah. That's why some people, if you look at what they call genetically modified seeds.
Because those are like hybrid seeds.
Hybrid seeds, but from the experience we have had with those hybrid seeds is they are not sustainable in terms of you need to be replacing them. You cannot plant them more than 3 years.
And with the indigenous seeds, it's 10 years.
It is 10 years minimum.
Minimum. So yes. It can be longer.
It can be longer. It depends.
And in terms of like nutrients and like vitamins and minerals, like in the seeds, does like hybrid seeds have the same minerals, nutrients that indigenous seeds?
Now, let me give you an example. You have, there's a lot of promotion, and this is a practical example I'm giving you from the field. We supported farmers to produce pineapples, pawpaws.
Pawpaw is papayas.
Yes, papayas, cucumber, and then of course rice, sweet potatoes, granuts. So, and also we are trying to promote soya beans because we are coming from the nutritional value chain.
Okay.
So we realized that the seeds, especially the imported seeds, because it does not do well, so farmers tend to put a lot of fertilizer in them. And those seeds, when you replant them, first of all, when you harvest and you want to store them for the next harvesting season, most of it, there are high chances that one, they are infected easily with
because
weevils.
Because of the fertilizer?
It's greater because of the fertilizer, also because of the genetic origin of the seed. I want to believe that to what extent, of course, I am not a scientist in seed, but I want to believe that there is a huge difference between indigenous seeds in terms of the genetic.
I think there is.
Yes.
Of course, because if they are genetically modified, exactly, they are not going to
have
the same.
And then practically, when you look at the test is different.
Hmm.
When you test the genetically modified popo, for example, it does not test like the indigenous.
Yes. The real. Same with watermelon. You know, like you have the seeded watermelon,
exactly,
and then you have the non-seeded watermelon. They don't taste the same.
And then even if you, what we call the shelf life, if you want to keep, for example, watermelon for at least 1 week, if you compare the two, the indigenous watermelon takes longer.
When to grow.
To keep, after harvesting, you want to keep it, say, for 1 week.
Mm.
But the genetically modified seeds, you keep it for 1 week, if you put your finger there, the finger will go inside. That means it gets rotten quickly.
Mm.
They cannot easily preserved. In short, they don't take long.
Mm. So there is more benefits of using indigenous seeds and like fruits and like.
Of course, some people will argue that the benefit could be it's a short-term variety. It doesn't take longer to mature. However, if you weigh compare the benefits and the disadvantage, I think the disadvantage will be more than the benefits.
Mm.
I'm talking the perspective of local farmers who are challenged by access and the rest of the things, because most of them do not have money to keep buying seeds almost in every planting season.
Also because, I mean, indigenous seeds, you know, they are the real seeds, the natural seed. I believe in preserving our natural ways of doing things, of being.
Yes.
So, you know, to have like genetically modified seeds, it's just we're going away from like what, you know, Mother Nature gave us. You know,
yes,
to what is like natural. To go towards something that is hybrid, man-made.
Yes.
So we're losing a lot in terms of nutrients, in terms of like, used the term earlier, which I can't recall now, but like the value, like the...
Exactly, the natural value.
Yes, exactly. So we're losing
of
all of this. Like if you look at the bananas, for instance, you know how the real bananas are the small bananas.
Yes.
Now we have like in Europe, especially we have the genetically modified bananas. So you do not find the small bananas. It's actually very expensive to find small bananas in Europe.
Exactly.
But in like supermarket, you'll have like the big bananas who, in terms of nutritional values, they don't have the same as the small bananas.
Yes.
Yes.
So basically, my biggest worry is we don't want a situation where we depend on one company, for example.
Yes, exactly, because this is what's going
to
happen.
Yes.
Exactly, yes.
To provide the seeds.
Mm.
What about those ones who cannot afford?
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes.
Because
yeah,
every year. Moreover, most of them are subsistence farmers.
Mm.
You know?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And you talked about food shortage and, you know, people not necessarily having like lots of money to like, you know, maintain food. So my next question is, what is the importance of seeds in agriculture?
Seed is a foundation for agriculture. Without seed, there will be no crop, because it is from the seed that you get the fruit. It is from the seed that you get the harvest. So seeds is the backbone of agriculture. If we are talking about food security, we are talking about seeds. Irrespective of how people are going to, but without seeds, you cannot plant rice, for example. And that is the biggest challenge most of the farmers are facing. Imagine you are already constrained with accessing the seeds in terms of the cost, the infrastructure. And then again, when you manage to actually get this seed, it is not viable. In terms of what I mean by viability is the yield. Talk about the germination.
Mm.
You know, talk about the yield. Because a good seed has a potential of providing good yields.
What's yields? What does it mean?
So the yields is, if I'm planting 1 kilogram of maize, for example, at least I'm expecting a good yield. For example, if you are planting 25 kg, 1 acre of rice, for example, if it is a high quality seed and all best agricultural practices are maintained, it is expected that it should provide you with a minimum of something like 200 or 300 kilograms or even more. That's what I mean by yield. But if farmers are using poor agricultural practices and then the seed is not good, so it is a double problem.
So the yield won't be as good. So the yield is what it's like produced.
Exactly.
Okay.
The yield is the and the results. At least when you plant, you expect a good yield. For example, granite. When you plant granite, you plant one seed. But when you are uprooting it, you might find 10, 20.
From one seed.
One seed that you have planted.
Mm.
You know, when you uproot the granite, at least you expect 30, 40 in it. But in some situation, you meet 3 and you have planted a lot of acres. You have spent energy and resources to plant that acre. That is a poor yield. And that's one of the reasons why most farmers are discouraged.
Because of more so the youth. Yield.
Yes.
More so the youth, as this is why they don't want to go into farming, because of the poor yield.
Poor yield, they don't see the benefits easily.
Also because I guess everyone is tending towards genetically modified seeds.
Exactly.
So I think that our youth now doesn't really see the value in farming or in like talking about the necessity of preserving indigenous seeds.
Yeah. Because basically, if you ask yourself what attracts a young man to farming, it has to be, one, farming has to be cool in the sense that,
those young generation,
and should have quick money.
Yes.
That is what they think.
Yeah.
So in absence of this, they get discouraged.
So, oh, and I have a question for you. Another one, actually, before going to my next question is, talking about rice and indigenous seeds, is rice really an indigenous seed or was it not man-made?
I wouldn't go into origin, but I think rice had its own indigenous seeds. So now the seeds we have is they are improving. You know, to improve as well as preserving the variety. Of course, we have different research organizations now coming with different rice varieties. For example, in Sierra Leone, the Njala University of Agriculture, in partnership with the Sierra Leone Agriculture Research Institute, they did the research and they came up with one of the rice varieties, which is Nerika. Is one of the best.
How is it called?
Nerika.
Nerika.
Yes.
So it's a new rice.
Yes, it's like a new variety that is being piloted,
and then it's not indigenous, right?
Yes.
Because it's
So piloting means, do you try to maintain the variety from its foundation origin? Yes.
So wait. I'm not sure I understood what you just said.
Yes.
Can you say it again?
So basically,
if
for example, you have seed breeders, seed breeding is a component of its own, and it has so many aspects which is involved. One of it is, when you are breeding seeds, you should be able, are you maintaining the genetic purity of that seed
in the modified seed,
not
in
the modified
in the breeding.
In the breeding,
so but it, breeding means like
so. Sometimes the breeding is done with the purpose for easy multiplication.
Okay.
Yes. For example, the rice. You see the rice that most of the farmers when they harvest, they sell it off.
The
and then it becomes a challenge for them to have to buy for the next planting season. So what the research organizations will be doing in this case is to say, okay, we will have a way where we can maintain these seeds and try to improve them. It's different from trying to change the genetic.
But then improving it, for me, like a seed that has been improved, it's not indigenous, right? Because even though it still has like the genetical, like, I don't remember how you say
genetic
of like the indigenous seeds, because it has been improved, because it has been changed, then can you really call it indigenous?
And that is why I am saying that there is currently that research going on, and we are trying to wait to see what are the findings. There's a new rice variety, and it has been piloted by different farmers. There is a new potato variety that already, even me personally, I planted it, and I'm seeing it. The test is good, but I think it doesn't last.
So it has no. It's not good.
I mean, the test is good. It's very big in size compared to the previous ones, but the challenge there is, if you want to plant it for the next season, he does not do well. So the more you replant, the more it reduces in terms of the yield.
Okay. So then, looking on a larger scale, it is not good. It's not beneficial to use this new breed.
That's why this project is coming strongly, to make sure that let's preserve our indigenous seeds.
Because it's essential, I think. Because
there's a huge campaign discouraging people. Of course, I can understand that people, when you are doing farming, you are looking at profit as well. Because there's a huge campaign telling people that, oh, this one, within 6 months you have harvested and you get your money.
But so people are being pushed to go for certain because it's quicker and because they will have money.
Yes.
But this is capitalism. It's like we have to be quick, and not like, I think, because people are, and I don't blame people because, you know, they do need to survive. But I think they are not looking at the bigger picture and seeing that with those seeds, what matters is not how much money they're going to make with the breeding or the yield, but it's what's going to happen to the indigenous seed. Are we going to keep our like indigenous seeds in terms of like the nutriments, how do you say it again?
Genetical varieties.
Genetical value?
Yes.
Yes, because this is what needs to be preserved.
Exactly. So that's just a biggest challenge. I can tell you that, for example, in Uganda, or I would say most East African countries, they had these programs where they were piloting different crops, even goats, you know.
Even goats, they're like
animals. So basically, you have this animal, you bring it here. It is not used to the current environment. It is not resistant like the local goats we have. So most of them die quickly. Yes, they die quickly. And most of them are sickly. So imagine the cost of
dealing with all of this.
Yes, veterinary, buying veterinary medicine and all of that, getting extension service to a poor farmer.
So it's a loss in terms of money.
It's a loss in terms of money. We have seen seeds where you plant this time, if you keep it for the next planting season, they don't germinate.
Because they're not planted in the right soil.
Exactly. It's not necessarily the right soil. I think there is a problem with the seed, because if it is the right soil, why is it that these local seeds can germinate, but this particular one cannot?
Because it's not indigenous.
Yes. So most times they don't tell us the other side of the story.
Of course.
Yes.
They never do. They never do. Yes.
So basically that is what this project is trying to address.
I think that's great. I think it's very essential to have project like this.
Yes, thank you.
So what is Africa as a continent doing for the preservation of its indigenous seeds?
For Africa, I think in my opinion, I think we need to focus on the maintaining our indigenous seeds. For example, we need to increase on the seed technicians, for example, because that is one of the biggest challenge for getting seed technicians who will be able to analyze the genetical and then also certify some of these seeds and to make sure that we maintain.
But and is the there biggest thing happening now is Africa as a continent taking action towards preserving its indigenous seeds.
And I am not sure that it's very strong because there is a push factor. Most of the projects in Africa are donor driven. So in most cases, what the donor tells you is most of. But what I mean here for governments, I think this is to do with the governments in Africa. They should support some of these initiatives to make sure that we get laboratories, we train seed technicians, we improve on extension service, and also seed matriculation agencies, so that if we preserve most of these seeds, we're able to do research on them and act on from an informed point of view. I clearly understand that there is a big motivating factor, financial factor to provide. Course. Because if a donor, for example, gives you money, he will tell you that you can bring the seeds from this side. Moreover, these seeds are very good. They are short variety and then they yield. After, what happens? These are some of the things which affects sustainability of agricultural projects in Africa.
Mm.
I can tell you Africa is a graveyard for most of the failed projects.
Mm.
Especially agriculture.
This is important for Africa because if we talk about food shortage and many countries experiencing this, or you know, many countries experiencing poverty, preserving indigenous seed will be a way to fight this. It will be a solution to the food shortage that so many people are facing here.
Because most of these seeds are adaptable to the climate,
mm-hmm.
to the soils we need. So the only things we'll be dealing with is to how we can improve our soil fertility, not juggling with different problems. Yes.
On a smaller scale, do you think that Sierra Leone is doing anything towards the preservation of its indigenous seeds? At the beginning, you say that you are currently working with people in the UK and in India, but do you get support from... Yes. From your country?
In country, I would say no.
From Sierra Leone?
From Sierra Leone, no. Except maybe if we have technical consultation meetings, we can get the technical advice. Yes, for example, Sierra Leone Agricultural Research Institute. We have a seed multiplication agency. It used to be under the government, but now it has been privatized. Unfortunately, most of them are underfunded, so they are not so much efficient in doing what they are supposed to do.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
On a national level, is there anyone else doing a similar job that you guys are doing?
Specifically on national level, I am not sure. Except Sierra Leone Agricultural Research Institute.
With whom you are collaborating.
Yes, and the Njala University.
What about on an international level?
International level, I know there are so many there are organizations. When I talk about international level, I am saying looking at Africa as a continent. Not international in terms of Europe or what, because I don't know.
Africa. Yeah.
In terms of Africa, there are some countries that are trying to sensitize their farmers, but most times they lack the capacity to do awareness raising and also to make sure that they support the farmers directly to grow and plant some of these
because
crops.
That's essential, supporting the farmers directly, because if we talk about finance or like profits, I guess a lot of them are not making profits, which is why they will tend to neglect the indigenous seeds and go for like genetically modified seeds.
So there's a little need of support there so that they can actually prepare, then make sure that you have, they maintain all good agricultural practices to make sure that they cultivate.
Nice. My last question to you, Simon, is how are you raising awareness on this issue? I know before you mentioned that you have been sharing the issue with politicians, trying to get politicians to talk about it or to help you raise awareness, right?
Yes. So basically, in our little way, in most cases, we have forums like this to speak about some of these issues. We engage key stakeholders in terms of like Ministry of Agriculture, for example. We try to engage research institutions, agricultural research institutions. However, in most times, this is a rigorous activities, and most times we are constrained by funding. We don't have specific funding to do actually carry out the sensitization.
That's a shame because you deserve that funding. Well, thank you very much,
thank you so much, Simon.
Can you just tell our listener if they want to reach out or if they want to find out more about your organization, where to find you?
Basically, Institute of Development and Humanitarian Assistance is working in Sierra Leone at Tembe Town, 35 Nelson Lane. However, you can go to our Twitter handle at IDHA_SL. We are in the LinkedIn. You can just type in Institute of Development and Humanitarian Assistance. We have a Facebook page, as well as we have a website, which is www.idha.sl.org.
Great. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.